T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for being with us here, 106 on a Monday afternoon on KMBZ. President Trump announced shortly after the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg that he would be making an announcement about who might replace her. And now we know that that might be coming as early as Friday. We have a lot of questions about the process here and how quickly it could move. And we are pleased to be joined on the line. ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks joins us. Thanks a lot for being on with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Yeah, it's amazing how quickly the focus has shifted from honoring the legacy of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a pioneer for women's rights to instead the nitty-gritty political issues about replacing her, what's going to happen before the election, if anything, what might happen after. So a lot of questions are rolling around in people's minds right now.
Let me ask you first about something you tweeted earlier this year, and it was after a health scare that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had had. This is what you said. Her health scare reminded us that a third DJT, Donald J. Trump court pick, could make Kavanaugh look like a love fest. Now we are where we are. What are you predicting?
Yeah, this is just going to be an intergalactic struggle because you know the Democrats are still just so chapped over the Merrick Garland deal. They wanted the Obama pick to be confirmed in the last year of the Obama's presidency, and McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate thwarted that, and then Kavanaugh wasn't any happier. And so then what we face here is the question of alleged hypocrisy. McConnell is now saying, let's go ahead and not wait for the people to pick a new president, possibly. Instead, let's do it now. 21 of 25 nominees in our American history put up during the last year of a president's term have been confirmed. So there's certainly precedent for that. But on the other hand, the Republicans might look bad. I think from the president's standpoint, he is saying to himself, yes, there's going to be a huge fight, but I'd like the attention of the public to be diverted maybe from COVID and my character or personality to instead the bread and butter Supreme Court issues of guns and abortion and immigration and Obamacare. So that, I think, fits the president's strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's talk a little bit about what can happen. As you said, there's reason to push for a nomination and a confirmation hearing before the election. There's also reason to delay on the Republican side. You can kind of look at it one of two ways. So if they decided to try to get this all done before November the 3rd, can it happen?
Well, it certainly can, theoretically. Typically, it takes about 70 days from the death or resignation of a justice to the confirmation of the replacement. And here, Trump had 44 days. Now it's about 40 days. So it's very hard to do it. The Democrats will probably put up roadblocks. But the Republicans have a 53-47 edge. And so, theoretically, they can push things along very quickly in terms of Friday or Saturday, we're told. The president will nominate a woman. We don't know which of five that are allegedly on a short list. And theoretically, you could have the vetting process, the courtesy calls in the Senate offices, whether the Democrats participate or not, and then a vote. The Democrats have some parliamentary maneuvering. They can try to put it off, but theoretically, it's possible to happen before the election. As to whether that'll energize one side's base more than the other, that's anybody's guess.
So that was what we were talking about a little bit this morning, and I know it's all speculation, but from your informed point of view, what effect do you think this will have on people's decisions on Election Day?
I think the Democrats probably could be hurt by the pendency of this issue. Again, it takes the focus away from COVID, where Trump has suffered based on polls saying he just hasn't done that great a job. Plus, the Democrats are so motivated to end the Trump era. It's hard to believe anybody is going to be more energized to get out and vote than they currently are from the Democrat standpoint, no matter what's happening on the Supreme Court front. But the great middle, you know, the middle third is really going to decide the election. It's very possible that a lot of those middle-of-the-road voters will see the key issues of immigration, guns, abortion as so critical, and they see looming this justice of the Supreme Court issue. The Republicans might benefit from that issue of who gets energized the most, but obviously, we'll know much better, much more, in the first week in November. And by coincidence, a week after the election on November 3rd, there's an abortion decision pending for oral argument before the U.S. Supreme Court. So that's going to be on everybody's minds.
Absolutely. And we have a couple of different possibilities here. If, for example, the Republicans decided to wait until after the election, and we had discussed this some of this a little bit earlier, but confirm my suspicion here that if for some reason or, you know, through the voting process, they were to lose the presidency and conceivably control of the Senate in November, could the Republicans still in a lame duck session move on this and get it done before they're out?
They could, because the senators don't cycle out until January. So they're on the job through the end of the year, plus a few days. But as a practical matter, if Trump loses the election and the vote for the justice hasn't happened yet, really, what are the chances that the Senate is going to say, well, okay, Trump lost, but we're going to vote for his nominee anyway? I would think a lot of the Republicans would say, you know, we just can't do that. We're going to take so much heat because it's so, there would be a strong sentiment for letting Biden make the next pick. So I think for Trump, it's either before the election or not at all.
Can we come back to the Supreme Court calendar for a minute? Quite frankly, this is the part that was making my head spin a little bit when we talked about it this morning, that what else is on the calendar, if, to the extent that you know, for the U.S. Supreme Court before the end of the year? I know Obamacare came up at one point, and how could those decisions be influenced by, let's say, there being 8 members on the court versus 9?
Right. Well, Obamacare is really the big high-profile case for the rest of the year. Usually the big ones percolate up to the top in the spring and then in June when they go off for their summer recess. But for abortion, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, pretty conservative by reputation, ruled that Obamacare's mandate, requirement that you must buy the Obamacare policy, the mandate was changed when Congress said that the penalty will be zero. There will be no tax if you don't buy the policy. Some people sued and they said, well, it's like a three-legged stool. You take out that mandatory payment, and that's one leg of the stool gone, and the other two, it's going to collapse. And so that's their argument. That's what's being teed up on November 10. So everybody is going to be focused on that. Now, to answer your question about a 4-4 vote, which is what we have now because of the death of Justice Ginsburg, let's say a lower court, Circuit Court of Appeals, makes a Bush versus Gore type decision for Trump after a very close election. That 4-4 court would be unable to overrule that. It would be as if there was no Supreme Court vote because 4-4 is a nullity, it's a tie, and therefore the lower court decision would prevail. So whatever happens out of the lower court is going to be the ultimate decision in any case as long as there's a 4-4 tie at the Supreme Court.
Wow. Okay. A lot to parse there. Royal Oak is here with us, ABC News legal analyst. And Royal, when we look at what you mentioned early in this discussion, the idea that there would be a certain hypocrisy in trying to nominate and confirm a justice before this election because of what Mitch McConnell had said about the Merrick Garland nomination, because of what Lindsey Graham had said just 2 years ago about not going forward with a nomination in the final year of a presidency. From a practical standpoint, do those words matter at all?
No, I think the hypocrisy issue cancels itself out because, let's face it, both sides say things to help them at the moment. It all depends on who is in the White House. That determines whether somebody has a principled stand for pushing a nomination through or not.
Real quick, because we're about out of time with you, but as far as the nominees, the possibilities that President Trump may put up, who's the easiest sell?
I think the easiest sell would be probably Barbara Lagoa. She's a 52-year-old judge on the 11th Circuit. Does not have the baggage of Amy Coney Barrett, who will be attracting a lot of attention because of her possible opposition to Roe versus Wade.
It's going to be just a fascinating time to be alive, as it always is. Royal Oaks, great analysis as always, my friend. Thank you so much for being with us and trying to take us through some of this.
You bet.
Thanks a bunch for the time. We really appreciate it. It is such an interesting time in this period of history right now. It already was, but these days leading up to the election, particularly, just cannot learn enough. Thanks again to Royal Oaks. Great job on the analysis there for us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.